In that home, we knew we were safe to be young enough to dream, find the faith to believe.
Welcome to the podcast, Life to the Full, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
Where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello, ladies. Back to speaking about the words we speak in our homes. We are talking about the different words, the different positive words that God wants us to have coming out of our mouths. We're up to number 16, healing words. This is a beautiful one. Actually, God wants us to build healing homes. Our homes are meant to be places of healing. A while back, I found a most interesting scripture, Luke 12:42, and it was a parable. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." So it's talking about this man who rules over his household. Now, in the New Testament, the word that is usually used to describe a home or a family is the word oikos or oikia. But this time, when it says household, it has a different word. And the Greek word is therapia, which means to give care, especially medical care, domestic, healing. It's a word that means healing, and it's talking about a household. So here it's talking about a healing household. And of course, you can see where therapia comes from. We get the word therapeutic, to heal. And so really, as mothers, we are healing therapists. And we really shouldn't have to be going off to counselors. We really should be healing therapists ourselves, healing therapists to our husband, healing therapists to our children. This same word, the noun actually, is used in times where it spoke of Jesus healing. Luke 9:11. Jesus spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Yes, whatever need of healing they had. It may have been physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing. But Jesus healed all those that had need of healing. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Luke 4:40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And so God wants our homes to be healing homes, healing for the body, healing for the soul, healing for the mind, just bringing healing because, well, every one of us are all facing things and we face issues and we face relationships and there's often hurts and this and that. And therefore, there's always need for healing. Let me give you some scriptures. Proverbs 13:27, a faithful ambassador is health. Proverbs 7:22 in the Good News Bible says, being cheerful keeps you healthy. It is slow death to be gloomy all the time. I love that scripture. If you want to be healthy, well, keep cheerful. It's slow death to be gloomy all the time. Proverbs 15:4, speech that heals is like a life-giving tree. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many. Proverbs 12:18, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. So, dear wives and mothers, may you have healing words just pouring out of your mouths. Number 17, inspiring words. 18, joyful words. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We don't rejoice just when everything's going great. We learn to rejoice and be happy and cheerful and speak these kind of words even when things aren't going well. Our circumstances do not determine the attitude of our hearts. We are not determined by our feelings. We're not determined by our circumstances, but the attitude of our hearts and the acknowledgement that Christ dwells within us. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what our salvation is all about. We're not just saved from sin and ready to go to heaven. No, Jesus didn't. He died to save us from our sin, but he also died to come and indwell us by his life-giving Spirit. He wants to dwell in us. And when he comes to dwell, he comes in with who he is. His life, which is filled with joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and all the beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is in us. And so we do not live by just circumstances, by feelings, by anything like that. We live by the truth of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Number 19, kind words. The above Ruby's woman in Proverbs 31, verse 26, it says she opens her mouth with wisdom and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Proverbs 15:4, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. Proverbs 16:24, the New Living Translation says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Number 20, life-giving words. Dear ladies, we are life-givers. This is who God created us to be. The word Eve, when Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. The word Eve is Hava and means life giver. This is who we are. God created us to bring forth life. We are the most blessed of all people. We are so blessed belong to his female creation and have the privilege to bring forth life from our womb, a life which is an eternal soul, a life that isn't only here for this life, but a life that will live forever. I mean, dear ladies, how is it that Satan deceives women to not embrace their glorious role of being life givers? I mean, there is nothing more incredible in the whole of the earth to give life, to bring forth a life that is eternal and that will live forever and ever. It is incredible. And that's who we are. We bring forth life. And then from our breasts, we nourish a baby with life. We give life from our very breasts to cause this baby to grow and develop. I mean, that is amazing. And we should continue to be life givers as we, you know, raise our children. We raise them on life-giving foods. We're not going to be giving them dead foods. We throw out of our pantries all the white sugar and white flour and white pasta and white junk. No, we're those who give life-giving foods to our families. And of course, we're going to speak life-giving words because that's who we are. We're life-givers. So be reminded who you are, dear ladies. You are a life-giver in your home. You all know that scripture in Proverbs 18:28. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Every time you open your mouth, you're usually speaking life or you're speaking death. Make sure it is life. Proverbs 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The New Living Translation says the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Yes, amen. Be a life-giver. Number 21, loving words. Are you constantly reminding your husband that you love him? Do you say, I love you, not just once a day, but more than once a day? Make it the habit of your life to constantly remind him of your love. Never let a day go by without saying, I love you. Maybe if you haven't said those words for a while, maybe you feel kind of embarrassed to say them again. Well, you must say them. You must just get up that courage to say them. You must just, even if you don't feel like it, say them by faith. Because words have such power. Sometimes you may not feel in love with your husband. It's nothing to do with feelings. It's no, by faith, you just say, I love you. Because when you say the words, then feelings begin to happen. You don't wait for the feelings. You speak out first. Number 22, merciful words. 23, nurturing words. Of course, that's part of our whole mothering, isn't it? We're created to be mothers, not only physically, but innately. And so it is natural for us to speak nurturing words. Oh, isn't it so sad to, you know, be in a supermarket and hear a mother scream at her children? And it is so grating on the nerves. It's the opposite of what should be coming out of the mouth of a mother, which should be nurturing words. 24, peacemaking words. Wow, we sure have to do a bit of that in our homes, don't we? Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Romans 14, verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith we may edify or build up one another. 25, positive words. Oh, do you fill your home with positive words? Get rid of the negative. They just bring destruction. Positive words bring joy in life. Number 26, pleasant words. I love this scripture. I memorized it as a young teen and I just love to say it. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Oh, yes. Fill your home with these pleasant words because the walls of your home, they hear the words. They get filled up with the words that are spoken in your home and it affects the whole atmosphere. If your home is filled with pleasant words, well, The atmosphere is going to be pleasant as you speak pleasant words. Your children will begin to speak pleasant words. When you hear your children speaking these nasty words, wow, where do they get those from? They should be copying you. Proverbs 15:26, the words of the pure are pleasant words. 27, reconciling words. Sometimes you may get out of sorts with your husband or someone in your family. Well, we have to bring in the reconciling words. We can't let things go unreconciled. Number 28, respectful words. Dear ladies, I think this is perhaps the number one most important factor in our words, especially in our marriage relationship. Men are desperate for just wanting respect, wanting reverence. They were born to receive it. When they don't get it, they will never be the men that they're meant to be. They'll never be the husbands that you want them to be. Men absolutely recoil when they're not respected. I think this has perhaps been one of my greatest challenges. I have always loved my husband, and we have had the most glorious marriage of over 60 years. And I think our marriage just gets more glorious all the time. But I do have to confess, as I look back, there have been times when, even though I loved my husband, I didn't respect him and revere him truly as I should. And I've just had to confess that so much to the Lord, because we can say we love them, but husbands want more than love. They want respect. And if you feel that your husband is, he's really not towing the line as you would like him to, you just feel things aren't what they should be, maybe it's because he's not feeling or getting that respect from you. Do you think you could think about this and just think how you could show him more respect? How that when you speak to him, you can show him respect. I think my biggest guilt has been in trying to always make my husband, eat the right things, because he's just a man and he just loves to just eat all the junk food. And of course, that really upsets me, because I just want to keep him healthy, because I want to keep him forever. But then I have often gone about it the wrong way and, tried to tell him what to do and what he should eat and what he shouldn't eat. And does that help? Never, ever, ever, ever. No, because he is a man. And men are not going to be told what to do by their wives, unless he's some kind of wimp, and he won't be a happy wimp either, because men do not want to be told what to do. Oh, I remember a terrible thing that happened. Do I have to confess my sins? Well, this was way back in New Zealand days when we were raising our young family. And every year we would go for a family holiday, and we'd take all our extended family and families in the church with us. We could never go for a holiday on our own. We would end up with about, 50 families, sometimes 100 families that come with us. It was always so amazing. But I remember one time we were packing to go. We were going up to Pawanui, one of our favorite places to go. And the children decided, can we take the TV, Dad? And I said no. And I started to lay down the law. No, we will not take that TV. We're not going to have a TV on our holiday. That is disgusting. No. And my husband saw me laying down the law and I was just telling everybody what they should do. And he just could not take it. So he just said, we will take the TV. And he repacked the whole car. They had to take everything out. They had to repack the whole thing to fit in that TV. All because I said we were not going to take it. Well, the funny thing was, we got up there and of course, nobody ever even touched the TV. There was too much fun just being with everybody on the beach, water skiing, doing everything they loved to do. And no one even thought of the TV. But it was the principle. It is just within men. They do not want to be told what to do by a woman. And a lot of women think that they should be told what to do, but they don't understand that maybe they'll try and do that, but they will not get the best out of their marriage. Many men are just, they've turned off because they haven't been respected. They've just been nagged at and told what to do by their wives until really they just can't stand it. Maybe they put up with it. Maybe sometimes they'll just leave. But we've got to change because a man has to receive respectful words. I'm just thinking now, I wonder if I can just look it up. But in the Amplified version of Ephesians 5, it brings a wonderful message. Let me see if I can find it here. Okay. Girls, you can just make a note of this at the moment here. All right. Ephesians 5:33, the Amplified. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife, as being in a sense his very own self, and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Wow, there's a challenge for us, isn't it? Yes. And so let's speak respectful words. Let's see if you can talk to your husband without even telling him what to do. Giving him a chance to be the man God created him to be. Amen. All right, 29. The re-words. Here's some re-words that I think are very important. Reviving, revitalizing, refreshing, repairing, re-energizing, rekindling, reclaiming, reinforcing, restoring, rebuilding, replenishing, recreating, redeeming, rejoicing. Wow, those are some great re-words to also put in your vocab in your home as you're building your marriage and family. Number 30, right timing words. Oh, that is an amazing thing. Sometimes we have to wait for the right time. Do you know this? I'm sure you've found this in your marriage and even with your children. There's always a right time. And sometimes we've got to seek the Lord. We sort of maybe know what we have to say, but you can't just say it any old time. You've got to know the right time to say it. And the Bible talks about this. Proverbs 15:23. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Proverbs 25:11. Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. And so many times we can't just blurt out what we want to say. We've got to wait till it's the right time for the person to receive, and just the right time, and that our attitude is right too. We have to have our attitude right, and then it has to be the right time to speak. Number 31, supportive words. 32, soft words. Proverbs 25:15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. You know, sometimes we think, wow, my words, you know, my right words and getting everybody just into place, they'll do the trick. But no, it's soft words. Sometimes there's hardness and we wonder how we'll get through. Well, it won't be with hard and harsh words. It will be with soft words. Soft words break the bone. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You might be all right. Did you get that? Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, turns away anger. Can you get into that habit, dear lovely wife? Just a soft answer. Maybe your husband is giving you a harsh word, but just answer with a soft answer. It has such power. Number 33, soothing words. Proverbs 15:4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but when it twists things, it breaks the spirit. Number 34, strengthening words. 35, tender words. Number 36, thankful words. Oh, do you have a thankful heart? Are you always saying thank you? I believe thank you should be a big part of our vocabulary. Remembering to thank your husband. Don't just take him for granted. Thank him for the things that he does for you. Thank him if he takes out the garbage. Well, if he doesn't, don't complain. But if he does, thank him. Thank him when he mows the lawn. Thank him when he just does any little thing. Thank him when he helps you with the dishes. Thank him when he helps you with putting the children to bed. Oh, always have a thankful spirit toward your husband. And not just, oh, thanks, but no, a real thank you. Thank you so much. I so appreciate it. And toward your children, when they do a job, they do their chores, thank them. Don't just take it for granted. No, thank them. Have a thankful spirit. So it's in your family and then it becomes part of your life to thank others. You're thanking them when you, you know, think of things that they may do or whatever. Just get a thankful spirit. Oh, thankful words are just so important. Number 37, uplifting words. Number 38, wholesome words. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. 1 Timothy 6:3-4, if any man consent not to wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud and knowing nothing. So wholesome words should be part of our lives and part of our children's lives. Number 39, wise words. Oh, that's so important. Here's a few scriptures for you about that one. Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. That's the valiant woman of Proverbs 31. Proverbs 10:13, wise words come from the lips of people with understanding. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just brings forth wisdom. Proverbs 12:18, the words of the wise bring healing. Proverbs 18:4, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. That's a scripture that I have memorized and a scripture that I constantly have to think about. Oh, ladies, it is so true. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In other words, when you're just hanging out, you're just babbling on, talking, usually you'll end up saying something that is wrong. You may start talking about someone, gossiping about someone, saying something negative about someone. It just happens in just, you know, loads and loads of conversation. We do have to watch carefully. Even when we get together with friends, you know, just watch. Remember, in the multitude of words, the more words you speak, the more likely there is to sin. But what does it say? The wise, he that refraineth his lips is wise. And so we have to just have that wisdom upon us. Just be careful what you say. So easy to just get pulled in. And I have found, you know, when someone says something negative about someone, you know, you can often then think of something negative yourself. My, you might even say it. And that puts the nail in the coffin even more. And when people do that, or even about something, there's a negative thing. And one person says a negative and people add to that negative. And yet, the opposite can happen. I have tried this out. When you say something positive about a thing or organization or person, and you say that, then it's amazing how someone else will, they'll add a positive too. And so the conversation becomes positive. Try that out. My, if you see it going down the negative path, get a positive word in, because it's amazing how we can steer conversation, or sometimes we have to even shut our mouths altogether. Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And number 40, this is the last one I'm giving you, ladies, and I'm sure there's so many more, but this one is no words, because sometimes we have to shut our mouths. I think of the example of Jesus when he was standing before Pilate. And Pilate said to Jesus in Matthew 27:13-14, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And Jesus answered him, never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Here they were saying all these lies about Jesus. He didn't even stand up for himself. He did not even open his mouth. He answered not a word. Sometimes we can give a soft answer, but there are times when if we can't give a soft answer, don't give an answer at all. Don't say anything. 1 Peter 2:23 says, talking about Jesus, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So, dear ladies, there's just some words for you to think about. I hope you can just go over these last two podcasts again and just let the Holy Spirit just touch your heart. And don't forget to tell other ladies about these podcasts. Share them with your friends. Share them with others so they too can be blessed and encouraged. Dear Father, I bring before you all those who are listening. Every wife, every mother, every daughter, I pray that you will bless them. I pray that you will fill them, Lord, with loving words, sweet words, positive words, pleasant words, cheerful words, healing words, soft words. Oh, dear Father, and sometimes even no words. Just give them wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you will just give them, just such a heart of nurturing and love to just speak loving words into their home, and that, Lord, this will begin to just become the pattern of the whole family, and all will be speaking these beautiful words, Lord God. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.